Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Good morning, everyone. I always forget that it's not morning for some of you as you are listening across seas, but I want to welcome you to Dove Ministries of Love and thank you for tuning in this morning. And I'm just looking forward to sharing with you by the Spirit of God what the Lord has for you this week and what a blessing that He had you in His heart and He had you in His thoughts that He would draw you to listen to the program this morning. And it's just such a blessing to be able to come to you every week. And many of you are writing in and you're sharing with me how the Lord is blessing you. And it's just a great, great honor and blessing to be able to minister the Word of God. And, you know, I always think about in Isaiah 60, the word of the Lord says that He will glorify the house of His glory. And in this hour, our Father is releasing just revelation about walking in the glory of God. And so many people have said what they think that the glory of God is. And I'm telling you, the Lord has manifested His glory in my life for many, many, many years. And I've shared this on a program, actually, that I was a guest on, and it's been several months ago. But I shared about how the Lord began to reveal to me His glory. Now, you know the Word of God says, in Isaiah 16, verse 1 and 2 says, to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And that word arise in Hebrew actually means to change position. And so sometimes you just have to change position, and that could be in your way of thinking. That could be in what you say. A lot of people right now in the body of Christ are slumbering and they're asleep. And Paul said that's why many are sickly, because they are not respecting and yielding to the Lord. And so acknowledging in the body of Christ. But the Lord encourages us that we can walk in His glory. And He says in verse 2 of Isaiah that there is darkness that is covering the earth. Yes, there is gross darkness that is covering even the people. And so we thank God for the anointing of God, for the gifts that He allows us to walk in, to be able to minister to the body of Christ and to others that are unsaved. But it's the glory of God and it's the love of God that He so lavishly pours out into our lives. And as we begin to receive His glory and receive the love of God, then He's able to open up to us dimensions of His Spirit to receive that revelation so that we can affect the world by His glory. And so, you know, the Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that always just frightened me to read that. And one day when the light just, you know, came on so strongly, I stood in my secret place in my prayer closet, and I began to cry out to the Father. And I said, Father, I said, if that's all that is in my life is just the gifts and the callings which are without repentance, and my heart is not right with you, I said, Father, take all the gifts and take the calling, because I don't want to be standing there before you on that day and you say to me, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, God wants us living in the Spirit, but he wants us living in his glory. And the glory of God changes people's lives. And once again, I thank God for the gifts and the callings of God. But because they are without repentance, that means that, you know, you can, and just excuse me as I say this, and hopefully this won't be offensive to you, but it's true. You can live like the devil on the weekend or during the week, and but you can go to church and you can be yielded, and God is so gracious that if there's a need, he will manifest a gift in you to be able to minister to someone in your pathway that he, you know, that he puts there. But we don't want to be that one that will be standing there and him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And, you know, it's, he didn't say, you never knew me, depart from me, you never knew me. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. See, the thing is that you can know what my favorite color is. You can know my favorite food, Mexican food. And you can know what book is my favorite book. You can know my favorite color. You can know all these things about me, and I can know nothing about you. See? And so you can read about the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and you can know so much about him and him not know you. Now listen, listen to this. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Okay? But why would he tell us to come away with him? If he's always with us and he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, why would he tell us to come away with him? What does he mean by that? When he was speaking, or as we read in the Song of Solomon, and he said, come away with me, my beloved. Let us go, therefore, into the fields and the villages, and let us lodge there together. Because he wants us to come out of our house. Remember in 1 Samuel, and I believe it's about in the 6th chapter, I could be totally wrong, but, excuse me, the Word of God talks about Saul and Samuel and how the Lord was speaking to them to come out from the house and to come out from their house and to go up on the rooftop, okay? And so the first thing that you have to look at here is that the Father was speaking to them. God was telling them to come up higher. See, sometimes you just have to go up higher, and sometimes just a very natural thing that you do can change your spiritual perspective. Now, someone might say, well, Apostle Mutt, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes in our church, the church that my husband and I pastor, Church of His Glory in Rockwall, Texas, sometimes I will have people, and not all the time. This is just an every once in a while thing whenever the Holy Spirit quickens me. I will have people to take their shoes off and to stand up in their chair. Now, you know, some that hear this might think, well, now, you know, that's just the craziest thing I've ever heard, to tell people to take their shoes off and to stand up in their chairs in church. How disrespectful. No, it's really not. They're just chairs to begin with, nice padded cushioned chairs. But you know what? Lest we come as a little child, we can enter into the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And sometimes you have to do things, as I said, in the natural, and it really changes your spiritual perspective. Now listen to this. This is just so powerful. Whenever I've had people to do that, and sometimes when I've been out of town, the Lord's had me to do it in some churches. And what happens is, just standing on a chair, and you know what? Maybe you might need to do this today. This may just be something that you need to do, and you'll see exactly what I'm about to say. But what happened is, when people step up in the chair, and I had them to bring a chair up for me, and I stood up in the chair too. But what happened was, just standing up, just going up, you know, however tall, however high that is, I don't know if it's chairs like 2 feet or 3 feet off the ground, whatever it is, but just standing on a chair, the whole atmosphere changed. That is amazing. I mean, the whole atmosphere changed because, you know what? People's perspective was different just stepping up on a chair than what it was standing on the floor. And so, see, God had Saul and Samuel to come out from the house because he wants you to come out from the mess, and he wants you to rise up above it. And so Saul and Samuel, they came out from the house, and they went up on the rooftop, and there they communed. And I love what the Word of God says. And in the Old Testament, it says they communed together. And Paul talks about how sweet the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is, when he said, peace and grace be unto you. And then the fellowship and the communion with Holy Spirit. And so what the Lord says is to you today is, I am with you. I will never forsake you, and I will never leave you. But yet the bridegroom is saying, come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. And so what he's saying is, come up higher. Rise up higher. Come out from all the stuff that you're in, where all the clutter is and the mess is, and rise up. And so, once again, maybe some of you today that are listening, maybe you might just want to do that. And try it and see. But the Father so desires for you to rise up and to come up higher. So he says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, in 2 Kings, in chapter 2, many of you might be familiar with the story about Elijah and Elisha. But I'm going to read just a few scriptures to you as I'm being quickened by the Holy Spirit to read these to you. In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 8, it says, and Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the waters, and they divided this way and that, so that the two of them went over on dry ground. And when they had gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you, before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. However, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And so they still went on and talked. And behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle, fell from Elijah, and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters, they parted this way and that, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets who were watching at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Wow. And so the reason why I read this scripture to you is that the Lord wants to encourage you today and for this week. He wants you to arise and to shine. He wants you to arise and to change position, change your way of thinking, because he's got something more for you. There's a greater impartation of the grace of God and the glory of God that he wants to manifest in your life this week. And I just so feel the presence of the Lord right now. Let me just be obedient and just pray for you. Father, I thank you right now for the blood of Jesus. Father, that the precious blood of Jesus, it makes the way for your people to enter boldly into your throne room. And Father, I pray for my listeners today, Father, every single one of them, or whenever they are listening to the program. And Father, I ask you that even this day, Father, as they are listening at the sound of my voice, Father, that they hear your voice. And Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would take them, Father God, that you would just bring them up, Father, as they make that effort and as they discipline themselves, Father, to seek you with everything that is in them. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that your glory would be revealed in and through them. And Father, I pray today that the words that I speak, Father, that they are not my words, but your words. And Father, every person, Lord God, I thank you for an impartation of your glory in their lives, Lord God. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that they have ears to hear, Father, and they have eyes to see. Father, and their heart is good soil, good ground for the incorruptible word of God to be planted into their hearts and to bring forth much fruit in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, the glory of God is so precious here in this room that I am doing this program in, this broadcast in. And I believe that the same presence of God that I am encountering right now, that you are too, and that you are just being consumed by him. He's an all-consuming God. He's an all-consuming fire. And I'm telling you, he desires to give to you this week more than what you had of him last week. See, he doesn't just want you to go from glory to glory and faith to faith, but he wants you to go from strength to strength. And David tells us of that in the book of Psalms, that he wants us to go strength to strength, from strength to strength. And he talks about going through the valley of Baca and going through the valley of weeping. But in that place, springs are formed. You know, when we go through those seasons of weeping, you know what? Something is about to change as we seek the face of the Lord, and he's made the way for us to come up higher and to commune with him. Do you know today how precious you are to him? And as much as you long to be with him, he longs to be with you. And I shared this last night. I do a prophetic healing gathering on the first Sunday night of every month. And I was so blessed last night to have some ladies, three or four ladies that had come all the way from Comanche, Oklahoma. That's over 3 hours. And one of the ladies says she began to share with me the warfare and just the battle it was just to come to the meeting because they'd come so far. And so I finally asked her, well, you know, where did y'all come from? And so she told me from Comanche, Oklahoma. And I said, well, how did you know about me, you know, about the church? And she said, well, I saw you on TV. And I said, I've got to get to this place to where this woman is. And the love of God drew her from what she saw. The glory of the Lord, you know, the true, pure love of God that doesn't want anything, doesn't put a demand on you, but just loves you. God's love is pure. And God's love loves you with nothing, no stipulations, with nothing else at all there. And so I was so blessed that just in hearing and the hunger that was there. And I was sharing in the gathering about how he desires so much as you desire to be with him. He desires so much more to be with you. But you see, you have to give him that place. You have to give him that time. And there's a place of communion that you enter into with him where there are no words. You don't have to speak any words. And you know, I think about my husband and myself. We've been married for 35 years this year. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing, and that is a miracle. But I think about how through the years, how we have grown to so love one another and to fall in love with one another, regardless of what we have been through. And what we have gone through, we have a covenant with one another. And God is a covenant-keeping God. And so we have a covenant with one another, and we keep falling in love with one another because we choose to do that. But there are so many times that we don't have to speak any words at all. We just commune with one another, you know, with our spirit. And, I had to take a drink. With just our spirit, we commune with one another. And we have such a deep love for one another that just keeps growing. But, you know, I know that that is possible. And I want you to listen to me right now. Please listen, because God wants to restore your marriage. God is restoring marriages right now. And there's a manifestation of His glory that He is releasing into marriages. And listen, I want to tell you that the church is going to get healed, but marriages are going to be healed so that families can be healed. God wants to restore your marriage. And you have to let Him. You have to allow Him. And I truly believe that as restoration comes in marriages, that it's going to bring families together. And instead of the world looking at the church and saying, you know, these church folks, they are just as dysfunctional as we are. Their marriages are in as big of a mess as my marriage is, our marriage is. And see, God wants us to make a difference and impact the world with His kingdom, with righteousness, peace, and joy. And so how are we going to do that if we don't arise and shine? It's not going to happen. There's got to be something different with us. There's got to be something that people can see in the world and that they can taste and see that the Lord is good and that they can encounter with us. Now, God wants to manifest that glory, and His glory, in His glory, I'm telling you, people's lives are changed. And so when Isaiah went on to say in verse 2 that gross darkness was covering the earth, yes, even peoples, well, the glory of God in your life brings light into the world. And so that is why the glory of God must be in your marriage. And I'm telling you, when the glory of God becomes a part of your marriage and a manifestation that is of God's Spirit and His light that is in your marriage, it is going to touch your children and your family. And I thank God for our family, for our children. Our babies are 33 years old and 29. In fact, our son will be 30 in October. And I just thank the Lord that God has given my husband and I the grace to be parents, number one, but to be an example of God's glory and for that glory, you know, to be seen. And it's been such a testimony to our children and our son. It's just precious. At different times, on different occasions, and he and our daughter-in-law will just thank us for being not just godly leaders, but for being godly parents and for revealing what a godly marriage should be like. And what a great honor to hear that kind of feedback from our children. But we are blessed, our grandchildren. The glory of God is so manifested in our grandchildren as well. And we have four grandchildren, and they just display the glory of the Lord, I'm telling you. But you know what? You have to fight the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight. And sometimes changing positions, arising so that you can shine forth with the glory of God, sometimes it's taking a position of warfare, because many, as Paul said, are weak and they're slumbering in the body of Christ. excuse me, and God wants us to wake up. He wants his bride, he wants his church to wake up and to quit slumbering, to watch and to pray and to know that he has made a way. God has made a way. And so he woos us and he draws us unto himself every day. And there's something about seeking the face of God. There's something about just getting alone with him and seeking his face. And I cannot tell you the numerous, many, many times that as I have just disciplined myself, see, in this journey, you have to discipline yourself. You really do. And when you think about disciples, well, discipline is a derivative that comes out of disciple. And so many times, listen to me, when I have given up my favorite things, when I've given up watching something on TV, or when I've given up calling someone and talking to them, but I've separated myself and I get alone in my secret place, and that is just happens to be the bedroom, our bedroom in our home, and I'm telling you, the glory of God shows up. Father God shows up, but his glory is manifested time after time after time after time. And I cannot tell you how many times the glory cloud has come into our bedroom. And maybe some of you that has listened to previous programs, maybe you've heard me share this, what I'm about to share. And but so many times as I have separated myself to just spend that time with him and to seek him, and sometimes that means just going and sitting there. I want to encourage some of you. Sometimes you just have to sit there and make your mind up and maybe even tell the Father, like what I have done on different occasions, Father, I'm not going anywhere until I know that you're here. Father, I don't want to be like one that is asking for a sign, but Father, I want to know. I don't want to know in my mind, but I want to know in my heart. Because I can feel you, because you're a tangible God. And so I'm not going anywhere, Father, until I can feel you, until I know that I know you're right here beside me. And you know what? He'll do that. And you know, a lot of people throughout the years, you know, we always hear, well, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. You know, we don't depend upon feelings. We just have to believe that he is here. Well, let me tell you something today. Have you ever been depressed? Have you ever felt suicidal? Have you ever been just so disgusted with yourself? Have you ever had any kind of emotions like that? Well, guess what? Those are not from God. But you still felt them, didn't you? Yes. And so how much more should you feel the tangible presence of God? Because he is good. He makes you feel good. He can be for you your sanity and your peace. And he is such a very tangible God. And so I always think about that, how as I look back now, you know, there's still Pharisees and Sadducees in the church today because they're more concerned about the letter and about religion than they are about the Spirit of God and relationship. And it's so sad to say, but God desires relationship. God reveals his glory in and through our relationship with Him, not through religion. Relationship is what He desires. And truly, the saying that you see in so many places is that Christianity is not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And so He woos and He draws you. And so many times as I have gone into my secret place, into our bedroom, and I've just said, here I am, Lord. I'm just here. Father, speak to me. Show yourself to me. Manifest yourself to me. And I'm telling you, the glory of God shows up. The glory cloud has been so thick in our room, in our bedroom, that you can't even see where the walls meet the ceiling. And because His glory is just incredibly amazing. And when I think about all the years that I have encountered, and when I began to encounter His presence in that way, and I never knew that there would come a day that I would be in the Pentecostal or full gospel or charismatic, however you want to say it, but I would be in a spirit-filled church, because I was in a denominational church for many, many years. From the time I was a young girl and accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was in a denominational church, and I did not encounter what I have encountered, in the church. I'll say that in the church. But as far as encountering Him and in His presence and that tangible presence of God, I'm telling you, I never knew that what I was encountering would be something one day that I would hear people crying out for. And I remember in the early years of just when the glory of God would show up in our home, and not just in our bedroom where I would separate myself into the Lord, but people walk into our home, and I've had many people that have taken, you know, 4 or 5 steps into our living room, and they stop, and tears begin to flow down their face. And it is so precious, because they are literally sensing and perceiving and feeling the tangible presence of God, and His glory is being manifested. And you know, because that has happened here in our home for so many years, I'm talking around 25 years, and probably even longer than that, and I just don't really realize it. But because that has been a place where I have lived, that is what will manifest in public. And so you can't give what you don't have, and you can't release what you have not been given. And so in order for people to be really touched by the glory of God, you're going to have to encounter His glory. And I've shared this many, many times. And let's see. Oh, goodness, the time is really passing by quickly today. We've got about 20 minutes left, and in just a little bit, probably about 10 more minutes, I'll be taking any questions that you have or any prayer requests that you have, and we will pray. But just get ready to do that in about 10 minutes. And but the glory of God is just so very tangible, and it is life-changing. And so as I have encountered that here, when I'm in our church ministering, and sometimes, you know, when I'm in other places and ministering, people will share with me later that as I was ministering the Word of God, and as they were looking and listening that all of a sudden they'll tell me that the upper part of my body just totally disappears. And they see either a white cloud or it's a gold color. They'll tell me sometimes it's a gold color. And all they can see or hear is Jesus. And, you know, for years, when I think about all those years in the beginning days of my ministry, I would cry out to the Lord. I felt like the weeping prophet Jeremiah. And I would lay across my bed praying for the people of God and just crying out to the Lord, saying, Father, let your people, let them know you as I do. Let them feel you as I do. Father, let them encounter you. Father, I just want your people to be able to encounter you in your glory, in your Shekinah glory. And see, he so desires that place of intimacy. That's why every day he woos you and he draws you unto himself. But you know what? If you're not ever still, why do you think he said, be still and know that I am God? It's because you have to be still and you have to sit still, literally, and be still so that you can enter into that place of communion with him. And oh, how precious it is when he reveals his glory to you. It's his glory in you that is going to touch people's lives. And you know what? Sometimes just the glory of God being manifested in and through your life is simply greeting someone at the grocery store, or maybe you're in Walmart, or maybe you're in Macy's or Dillard's, and just saying something really kind to someone. You look so nice today. Or, you know, I love your smile. It has brightened my day. If we would, as the body of Christ, would just start stepping out and being kind to people. You know, Moses talked about the kindness of God. The glory of God is manifested in kindness. And so, you know, the enemy wants to keep you self-focused. He wants your focus to be on yourself all the time and what you're going through. Listen, we're all going through, but we have to remember we're fighting the good fight of faith, and we win. And so if you keep that in the back of your thoughts, no matter what you're going through, that you win, then you will be able to focus in a greater way. You'll be able to focus upon the Lord and be sensitive to other people that he puts in your pathway. And, you know, if you'll just ask him to help you, he will. Now, I want to share this. A week ago, oh, my goodness, this was just, I had just finished doing the program. I can't remember now if it was last week or the week before, but I had just finished doing the program, and I was sitting at the computer desk, and I was fixing to schedule some more programs. And as I was sitting there and doing that, if you go to the on the Blog Talk Radio, if you go to the Dove Ministries of Love page or Apostle Diet Nut, I think you can get to it by typing in either one of those. But you can read the little article that the Lord gave me to write that people, you know, I'm sure many of you have read it. But what happened is I was scheduling the programs, and I was sitting there, and I was typing that information in. It's about 2,000 characters, and I think I have about 1,800 in mine. But I had gotten down to the bottom of it, and at the bottom of it, you'll read in there where I said, it is time for you to make a difference and to impact the world. And then I said, it's time for us as the body of Christ to subdue and replenish and multiply. And as I hit the period on the computer, out of my peripheral vision on the left, I looked down at the piece of paper that I was, you know, I had copied it so I could type it back on to the for the programs. And I looked down, and there was a spider as big as the palm of my hand walking towards me. Listen, y'all, I screamed to the top of my lungs, and of course, my husband wasn't here. And so if I would have stretched my arm out, now this is how close this spider was to me, the spider would have been even underneath my arm, close to my elbow. Ooh, that is how close this spider was. And I screamed, and you know what? It was just like, you know, the enemy, he will just show up. I mean, all of a sudden, he'll be just right in your face. And so I hate spiders. You know, they don't warn you that they're coming. They don't tell you. They don't make any kind of announcement. You don't even hear them. And a lot of times, that's the way the enemy is. He creeps in. And so I had to get up, of course, and go get a fly swatter because, you know, I didn't know what else to kill this spider with. And, you know, I live out in the country. We live in the country. And spiders can be really big, but you want them outside. You don't want them inside your home. And so, but I praise God that he said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those, excuse me, who love him, who are called according to his purposes. And God can take even a moment like that and turn it around for your good. And I'm telling you, a spider, now I'm a small person, and but, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a child. I mean, the palm of your hand is big. And so anyway, I went and got the fly swatter. When I came back in, he had two of his legs upon my word, upon my Bible. And it was my new Bible that my husband had just gotten me for Mother's Day a few months ago. And I thought, oh, great, I don't want a mess on my Bible. And so I just stood there, and it's like, okay, you've got to kill this spider because it's not just going to go away. And sometimes we stand in the face of adversity, and we're waiting for something to happen. We're wishing that the moment wouldn't be like what it is. But you know what? God will give you the strength to do whatever you need to do, and he wants you to arise and to shine, for your light has come. He wants you to arise, and so remember, we have already won. And so I took that fly swatter, and I'm telling you, I hit that spider. I went, I mean, just whopped down on it, and it killed it. And it was almost a shock to me because I've hit these kinds of spiders outside before, and one hit doesn't do it. I mean, it, you know, their bodies, I mean, it was just that big. But you know what? The Lord began to, oh my goodness, that woke me up. Listen, this is what the Lord began to reveal to me, and that is that sometimes he will put us on a spiritual treadmill to get us into condition, to get us into good condition to fight the good fight of faith. And you know what? When you fight the good fight of faith, guess what? The glory of God, it is manifested in and through your life. because faith is a spirit. God is spirit. Faith is spirit. And so if you're walking in faith, you're walking in the spirit of God, but you're also walking in the spirit of love. And so in and through that love, God's glory is revealed. And so the enemy, he will try to detour you or to get you distracted in relationships. Remember, I'm talking about relationships today. And hopefully there's an impartation that has been going forth to you and you have been receiving from the Lord. As I have been sharing about relationship with Christ. And so it's going to take the glory of God in your life that will make a difference in, not just in unsaved people's lives, but maybe you're in relationship, maybe you have family members, maybe you have close friends that are Pharisees and Sadducees. And now listen, I'm not labeling anyone. This is what the Bible says. And because religion is cruel, and religion kills the spirit. The letter, if you know, the letter is the law, and without the spirit, it kills. And so some of your relationships, the Lord wants you to step back from, so that you can step into a place of communion with Him, with the Lord. And so that out of that place of communion with Him, the glory of God will begin to be revealed to those who you are in relationship. Now, see, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, we do. And the Lord used that incident a week ago with the spider. I'm telling you, when I come into this computer room to do this program or any other time, my eyes are so alert. I mean, I'm looking and I'm watching, excuse me, everywhere because I don't want to encounter that type of thing. But I thank God for what He showed me in and through it, and He got me back on that treadmill. Oh, and this was the thing, too. He showed me how I had taken off my spiritual helmet, my helmet of salvation. Excuse me, here we are at the end of the program, and my voice is trying to go out on me. We had two services yesterday. Excuse me just a moment. There we go. Oh, and so, you know, he wants to, the enemy, he wants to keep you focused on yourself, but God wants you to stay focused on Him. And so if you allow things to enter in, you know, my mind was not being protected because I had allowed an emotion that came out of a relationship that I really should not have been in. You know, you need to really guard your heart because the glory of God is a precious thing, and the enemy will see to it that he puts, goodness, people into your life that are religious, because God's glory cannot be revealed in and through a religious person. And God reveals His glory in and through those who are in love with Him and who commune with Him and who separate themselves unto Him. And He wants to reveal that glory and change people's lives. And so He'll tell you sometimes, you, as I started out the program with the example of Saul and Samuel, as they went up on top of the rooftop and they separated themselves, they came out from the house and they came out from the mess. And sometimes you have to come out from the mess of a relationship because it may not be the right relationship that you should be in. And so you have to rise up higher, arise and shine, change your position. Where have you been, and where do you need to be? And just like last week, I shared with you out of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And remember, it said, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the eternal path where the good old way is, and then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So what the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah is that sometimes you have to stand and you have to look and say, okay, is this the pathway I'm supposed to be on? Because it could be the wrong pathway. But Jeremiah said, ask for the eternal pathway because it's the old way. And not old in, you know, in the sense of putting off an old nature, but it's the old, it's the ancient of days, it's the pathway that's been ordained by God. And then he said, walk in it, choose it and walk in it, and then you'll find rest for your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. And so I thank God that through that horrible experience with that spider, that he got me back on the treadmill, so I could get in condition to fight the good fight of faith so that I would be more alert and so that I would be able to see that I had taken off my helmet of salvation and I had allowed emotions, really, my emotions to be tormented because of a relationship that I was focusing too much on that really is not a relationship that God has ordained for me. And so maybe that's you today. You know, maybe you need to separate yourself from a relationship that you are in so that you can see clearly, so that you can begin to walk in the glory of God. And remember, you win. You have already won. And so what's going to happen is it's when you get that helmet of salvation on, get your armor on so that you can stay protected, as the Bible says, and stand against the wiles of the enemy or stand against the deceit of the enemy. And so we have to be real careful who we allow ourselves to be in relationship with, because, see, the devil doesn't want you walking in the glory of God. But God says that through the blood of Jesus that you can live in the glory of God. And it's the glory of God that is going to change people's lives. Why? Because when you're walking in the glory of God, Paul said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I can't believe that our time is almost up. Should this hour go so fast? I guess no one had any questions today, but I'm so glad and grateful that you joined me today, and I pray that something that I said, that it ministered to your spirit and to your soul. Please write in to me and let me know. I love to hear the testimonies of what God is doing. It's such a great blessing to know. It would use me to be able to speak into your life and to impart faith and to impart into your life to make your journey a little bit easier, but just to share that revelation. And you can go to my website, www.dove-ministries.com, or you can go to www.dovemin.com. Go to the contact page and please email me. Some of you have said you've had a problem with writing me at that email address, So you can write me at dovemnrc@aol.com, and that's dovemnrc@aol.com. If you are a pastor or a minister listening and you would like for me to come and minister at your church, please call the number on my website page. It's 972-772-5544, and I would be honored and blessed, and at the obedience of the Holy Spirit, I would come and look for upcoming. I'm fixing to have PayPal on our website. I've had many of you, you've sown offerings into Dove Ministries, and I just speak multiplication over your seed that you've sown, and thank you for being a part of what God is doing, because literally people are being reached all over the world through this little hour program that I do on every Monday. And we had someone who called from Athens, Greece a few weeks ago, and people have written from Pakistan, from Argentina, from even Iran, Canada. People are listening all over, and so thank you, and God bless you for supporting this ministry. Please tune back in and listen next Monday morning. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I look forward to being able to share with you once again. Be blessed this week, and go forth in the glory of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Bye-bye.